Okay, good afternoon. It is with regret that I announce the death of a second New Zealand SAS soldier in Afghanistan. I was informed earlier today that a New Zealand Special Air Services soldier had been shot this morning, New Zealand time, while the SAS were mentoring the Afghan Crisis Response Unit in the Wardak province of Afghanistan near Kabul. The soldier's name has not yet been publicly released, but on behalf of the government, I want to offer my sincerest condolences to his family and to the entire Defence Force. He is the second New Zealand SAS soldier to have died while serving in Afghanistan. The SAS is our premier combat unit, and its soldiers face very volatile and dangerous conditions in order to help the people of Afghanistan. They carry out their duties to the highest standards. They are brave, resourceful and resilient, and they are making a valuable contribution in Afghanistan. So the news that one of our soldiers has fallen is devastating for our SAS, for the New Zealand Defence Force and for all New Zealanders. He paid the highest price for his service to this country, and we all mourn his death. His death, however, does not alter our commitment to helping Afghanistan. It continues to be the government's intention to keep the SAS in Afghanistan until March as planned. I'll now hand over to the Minister of Defence and the Chief of Defence Force to further what happened before we take some questions.
This morning's loss of a New Zealand SAS soldier on operations will be mourned by all New Zealanders. Over the last few months, there has been an increased tempo of the insurgency in and around Kabul. And on every occasion when the SAS deploys with the Afghan Police Crisis Response Unit, whether in direct operations or in support, there is a risk of New Zealand casualties. Whether they are in the cordon or supporting the assault, they are within range of insurgent attack. Every soldier before each mission knows of this danger. They are our elite, and they serve with great bravery and courage. Today, New Zealand has lost a fellow citizen. The New Zealand Defence Force has lost a comrade, and a family will be mourning the loss of a loved one. My araha and condolences go to his family on this most difficult of days.
I also add my condolences to the family of the fallen soldier. The operation is still ongoing as we speak, and therefore at this stage I'm not able to give a lot of detail about the operation as the post-operational analysis is yet to be done. The information I wish to give, though, is that our forces were reacting to information about a team that was preparing to do an attack into Kabul. It was a warranted operation from the Ministry of Interior, the police organisation in Afghanistan, with an arrest and a search warrant to defer and disrupt this team. As the team were deploying in there, they were engaged, and as I said before, the operation is still ongoing to assault through this team and to resolve the circumstance. It is our intention to hold the name of this person for 24 hours to allow the family, the wider family, to be informed. The immediate next of kin have been informed, and we're also putting out an internal statement to Defence to notify our people of what's happened and to allow the remaining families of other people in Afghanistan to be informed that it is not their son. It is also our intention to hold at about a similar time tomorrow afternoon another press conference to release the name and also to give further information about the operation. At this stage, though, I can release that this was an operation which had a warrant to search and arrest people to deter an operation. It was under Afghan Ministry of Interior control, and the Crisis Response Unit was the lead organisation in that operation. Our guys were supporting and mentoring them in that role. I'll be now open for questions. At this stage, as I can release, as the cordon was being put in place to isolate that area so that the arrest and search could be conducted, it was detected, and the people in that compound opened fire with rifle fire, and there were also some explosions. The exact origin has not been confirmed yet. Our soldier was killed in that exchange of rifle fire in the early part of the contact.
How many people were in that compound?
At this stage, we have not the detailed information that will be released tomorrow.
How large would be your base?
At this stage, there are about 15 of our people in supporting the wider operation, and just under 50 crisis response unit people have been deployed to it. But again, the details of that operation will be released tomorrow.
Any other injuries?
At this stage, the operation is ongoing. We have no further reports of injuries to our side at this stage.
It seems that our SA is very much at the forefront in any sort of firefight in Kabul. It's really a view that maybe we should review the way they operate there.
To do the task of training up the Afghan Crisis Response Unit, they go through various phases of training them initially in an camp, how to do counter-terrorism, how to do building clearing operations. When they actually go on operations, what they're doing is they're there to back up so that the Afghan unit can run the plans by them, that we can actually provide advice if they get stuck, we can actually provide advice, or even specialist skills, which I won't go into at this stage. But the primary aim is, and intent and the style of operation is the Afghan Crisis Response Unit do the operation. Should it go beyond them though, and in that role of mentoring, we will be pretty close to the operations, and then if faced by danger or facing the circumstances, our guys are often drawn into that combat. Their primary role though is to train and assist in the decision making and the execution of that the Afghanis do in conducting that operation.
So it is essential that our men are there with them
to provide the level of advice and support and reassurance that the Afghans need. Our people need to be quite close to the operation.
Is this a soldier who's done multiple tours of duty?
At this stage, I'd rather not give information about the soldier, about his background or family circumstances, as it might lead to conjecture of who it was. That information can be released tomorrow. Yes, we can rule out Willie Arbat at this stage. Yes, this is the information we have. Is that this was a team who was planning an attack in Kabul, an individual who was an IED facilitator, that is arranging of the weapons, arranging of the training, and arranging of a team to move in and conduct an attack. The operation was to disrupt that attack before it occurred. We seem to have hit upon a group who was willing to fight back. What I can say is this is an operation, although routine is the wrong word, it's an operation we are doing on a weekly basis to disrupt events. 95% of the time we can arrest someone without any incident. They are normally occurred at night when people are more likely asleep or in the compound. The fact that this group fought back indicates that they've had the intention to fight it out in Kabul and were ready for to inflict damage and death on their target in Kabul. At approximately 9 o'clock our time is when the engagement started, when the firefight started.
Have there been any injuries or deaths among the suspects or among the CRU group?
At this stage, we have no further detailed information that we can release right now. What I will say, the information we do have, is there are some injuries to a young child who was in the compound as well, and also a fighting age male. Details of how they were sustained, those injuries, are yet to be confirmed in the post-operational debrief. But just to follow up on that point, the tactics and the style of how these groups will occupy, these are houses that they stage out of. They deliberately put themselves among the population so that there is that collateral injuries. The operations that we fight, they were very conscious of civilians being around there, and that's why it takes it so long to actually go through to ensure that the rooms can be cleared, that we only engage people who are fighting back. And that's what takes the operation so long. But in this case, we have heard comment that there have been two injured civilians in the approach.
Prime Minister, do you regret rolling over the deployment of the SAS in Kabul?
Well, I deeply regret the loss of our soldiers, but I don't regret the decision that we made to commit the SAS to Afghanistan. I think they are playing their critical part in trying to free the world from the threat of global terrorism, but obviously it's a very sad day for New Zealand.
And people that go there to lunch, it's no chance.
Well, that's always been my expectation that would be the case, and that's how it remains today. As I've always said, we'll continue to take advice on that at the final point in which we need to make that decision, but that's the indications we've been given.
So is it just bad luck that there's been a succession around two SASDs, or are they facing greater risks from a more volatile situation?
Probably see in the best position to answer that. But
it's probably good fortune that we haven't had casualties beforehand. Fortune's a mixture of preparation and luck. In this particular circumstance, the nature of the injuries, there was nothing we could do to prevent that style of injury always being an option. But again, more details will have to be released tomorrow. The fact that there are more insurgent attacks coming on in the media profile, I don't think is a good indicator of any change of luck or style. This has always been quite a well-trained professional enemy that we've been dealing with. There has always been that risk of injury and death. The fact that we have some of the best trained troops in the world puts the advantage on our side, but let's not underestimate the skill and the planning that they're going on. There does, though, seem to be a change in their strategy and also some of their small tactics. The number of actually attacks in Afghanistan, particularly assassinations, is going down, but they're being more focused into the high-end, high-spectacular media aware attacks in places like Kabul or Kandahar, but the actual number of assassinations across Afghanistan is reducing. The fact that this occurred, or that they're willing to fight back, some of their tactics indicate that they are starting to have an incident, and then they will focus on attacking their response unit, the medics, the police, the crisis response unit that's coming through. But that's the reality of the operations, and that's actually why we pay a lot of attention to keeping our operations secret, so that their response is limited, and we're always aware that this is always a circumstance that could occur.
Is it common for the SAS to operate outside Kabul and do Wardak and other provinces?
The SAS role in terms of, the crisis response unit role is to deter operations in Kabul. Often those operations will originate outside Kabul in the immediate vicinity. Their mandate is to be able to operate around that area, to be able to deter and disrupt operations that are going to occur in Kabul.
And so to make it to hospital at all, would receive medical attention there?
The soldier died in a medical facility in one of the operating bases. He was evacuated by helicopter to a base where the top military neurosurgeon in Afghanistan and his team were operating from. Unfortunately, he died on the operating table.
He was shot
in the head.
Would he bring home this rotation now early, given they've suffered two losses in their recent arrival?
No.
What's your advice on the ongoing firefight at the moment? Are the rest of the UAVs safe? Can you describe what's going on there right now?
At this stage, we'll release no information on the ongoing operation. We'll do that tomorrow afternoon. We're expecting a similar process to how Corporal Grant was brought home. A lot of that will depend on the wishes of the family. Some families wish the body to be brought home by the fastest means, which is normally commercial. Some family members, for cultural reasons, wish someone to be with the body at all times, which means it has to be on a military flight where the casket can be taken and the cargo hold of the military flight. Those types of details are still to be addressed by the family. At the moment, the family are coming to terms with the loss. Those types of questions and details will be determined over the next 4 or 5 days.
Prime Minister, are you going to be reviewing your upcoming schedule? Like, for example, going to be Sydney for the
Manly Games? I've made some short-term changes. I was going to the game of Georgia versus Romania tonight. You'll be aware that the Georgian Prime Minister is in New Zealand. He's on a state visit, so obviously we're trying to balance our responsibilities for being good hosts and the invitation that we issued to him. So I am going to go to Palmerston North to have dinner with him tonight, but I'm going to ask him to understand the position that New Zealand faces, and I think it would be insensitive for me to go to the game. This stage, my intentions would be to go to Australia in the weekend.
Is there any indication
Hurt.
Is there any indication that where how the child was surgery by one of our forces by the other side, or is there any indication?
The only indication we have is those injuries occurred before we went into the compound. Whether that was from return fire, we don't know. So at this stage, I have no further information on the operation apart from what I have released.
And Professor, you was
yes, in due course.
Can I just clarify the support and mental role? Because it seems to be very much more of a frontline context.
No, it's not a frontline combat role unless the circumstance becomes well beyond the capability of the crisis response unit and there is still a need to respond to either rescue hostages or to save innocent lives. The prime role of the Special Forces team that are on there is to train the crisis response unit, so they do in-camp training and their techniques. But then when the crisis response unit deploys, either do an arrest or a search warrant where there could possibly be armed opposition to that. Our guys will accompany them, provide advice about the plan, provide advice about or be a sounding board for the Afghan commanders making their decisions. And if there is technical advice or leadership or tactical advice, they will provide that should they need to do so. But they need to be beside the people as they're making those decisions and beside those actions. But the preference is, no, it won't be our guys doing the entering the team or doing any of the shooting should that be required, if the Afghans can do that. Now, there are occasions, because of the proximity, where our guys will need to protect themselves or they engage in the firefight because of their proximity, but that is not the preferred option in here.
Operation?
At this stage, they were moving. At this stage, we are still confirming the exact style of operation, and it's tomorrow in 24 hours we'll be able to get further release of the taskings that guy has and the exact task that this guy was on when he was killed.
Prime Minister, would it be fair to say that in your terms, Prime Minister, that the recommitting the SA's troops, which you were criticised for, would have been one of the tougher decisions you've had to make?
Oh, I think it's been the toughest decision I've made. But I continue to believe it was the right decision.
Why?
Because I think it's critically important that New Zealand plays its part. And at the end of the day, New Zealanders are prolific travellers. I mean, we're around the world. We're not immune from the threat of global terrorism. We've lost people as a result of that. And we live in a world where countries join together to try and make the world a safer place. And it's important that New Zealand plays its part. I mean, obviously this is a very sad and tragic day for New Zealand and my heart goes out to the family and to those that are serving New Zealand, but I think we're doing the right thing and it's just a very tragic event. Probably have to call it quits because we have a notice of motion in the House. And appreciate it.